TMP. Zoom in, get a good look. Yeah, it's me. Know where the fuck I'm from?
We don't play.
Yo. I'm reppin' LG and I'm the next great heavyweight. About to be the champ, nigga, every weight never safe. Level of potential, damn near out of space. About to skip the nigga who next, and I bet he wait. Ready for whatever, I'm coming fully equipped. About to show him I can spit, drop me a few hits. I think big, I just extended the clip. Yeah, we might party, but we will get on some bullshit. I thought I told you buffoons to stay tuned. I know I kept saying soon, they say I'm a late bloom. Gave it a little gas, I got him smelling in the fumes, blew past, now your career in the rear like views. First thing you learn as soon as you step out the womb is rep your hood until you go to the tomb. Gotta tidy up the game, suggesting you make room, cause I'm about to make a clean sweep like a broom. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. Yeah. You should never bite the hands that feed you, and I don't know who running that feast, but I wanna eat too. I came through, stole the shine like a thief do. Now the honeys wanna lock me down like police do. Why your face all in my book? Oh, you can read too. Crowd in my space, fake friends so see-through. My man Mano told me how I should greet you. First I say hi, wave bye, then delete you. You not impressed, but I promise you'll be amazed. With the bins, with the rims, a year over legal age. It's Avatar Blue and they finding it kinda strange that when the sun shines, every time it move, the color change. It's Baker, and I've been on a steady grind. BK all day, Empire State of Mind. I hope you reppin' yours just like I be reppin' mine. Having trouble understanding, rewind it a few times. I know you wonder why he actin' like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I don't give a fuck if I've been gone for a while, it's like I did a bid right after I blew trial. I kill haters, dump the bodies in the pile, and my only two weapons is a high and a smile. Was given a few chances, made it all good across big bodies of water, reppin' my hood. Real niggas show love just like I knew that they would, and the ones who said I couldn't do it wishing that they could. They wanna get me out the game cause they mad, tryna say I'm taking performance enhancers for the swag. I laugh while I'm shopping for body bags, but I think it's kinda sad, a few toes need tags. I got riches now, came up out the rags. My life's so fab, I just throw it in the bag. They kicked me when I was down, even throwing a few jabs. If you didn't fuck with me, bet now you're wishing you had. I know you wonder why he acting like that, how my attitude is never back down, always fight back. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn. I know the haters probably wanna see me fall off, honeys wanna jump on, so you need to jump off. Yeah, it's cause I'm so Brooklyn, look at how I'm looking, I'm so Brooklyn.
I got that bounce, I'm bouncing, talking like a rubber band. I got that bounce, I'm bouncing, talking.
Yeah. Her curves make me go crazy. That's why this beat is insane. Her coke bottle shake. Yeah, screaming my name. But wait, wait, she said she got a man. The way she move it, got me in a trance. I gotta tell her that I'm a fan. Yes, sir.
You never catch me.
It's your girl Aim, and you're listening to a special edition of Pre-Game Radio. We are live Sunday, May 18th, 2014, and today we're going to chop it up about a couple of things. We want to first give a shout-out to everybody that may be tuning in. You know, we know this is totally unexpected, but, you know, you got to go with the flow. So I definitely want to give a shout-out to on the other line, RJ Still. What's up?
How you doing, everybody? Everybody from Pre-Game Radio, Brooklyn Black. Eb, how's everybody on this beautiful Sunday?
Yeah, we chilling. You know, Brooklyn Black taking a break. You know, we decided to just do something a little different, considering that we had a lot of technical difficulty yesterday. Like, everything just froze up on us, you know, the Wi-Fi. It's like the more people that come into the area, you know, the thinner the Wi-Fi signal gets. And at the same time, while we want more Wi-Fi, we don't want more towers, you know? So how do we combat that? You know, it's time for them to start using more of that alien technology that they have that they just didn't get to us in doses, you know?
We need the next
step. Other than that, how are you?
Step. I'm good. I want to send a big sorry to all the people that couldn't listen in to that little bit of dead air, but, you know, technical difficulties has been fixed thanks to Eb and Brooklyn Black. Everything is good to go. Everybody call up. Everybody listen. We're all good.
Real talk. So, you know, we're definitely going to get into a couple of things. This is not going to be the usual length, 2-hour length show, but just, you know, just like a Sunday cool out discussion thing. You know how, what was that show that they used to play on Sundays, Like It Is, and they would just sit around
like
the table
is.
And just chop it up for about an hour, you know, about current events. So that's what we're doing, too. So we can get into the Rihanna of Rihanna because she definitely was down with it. We can get into the Solange and Jay-Z thing, and we can also get into Clippers owner Donald Sterling and, you know, his whole thing from beginning until this recent interview he did with Anderson Cooper. So first, though, I want to let you know we heard Chase Baker with our theme song, I'm So Brooklyn. And after that, we heard from our Indonesian sister, Agnes Mo, and that was Coke Bottle.
Agnes Mo.
So
yes.
I hope everybody, you know, in Indonesia, shout out to y'all. I don't know what time it is. That's horrible. I should have some type of screen where I could look and see what time it is anywhere in the world. You know, we need some more high-tech shit. You know, some shit we have to
I'm estimating it's like midnight over there, around midnight over there right now.
Is it around midnight over there?
Yeah.
All right. That's a shame. That's what I need to do. I need to take a little time and do some research during the weekend. Just, you know, familiarize myself with the time zones and shit. You know, I should know that. That's some things you should just know. You know, but
no, I got used to it with the traveling.
Yeah, definitely. Let's start with this Solange and Jay-Z thing real quick, because it's more or less coming blown over, but we just want to, you know, we're not beating the dead horse. We just want to give our quick synopsis about the whole thing. And so I'm going to ask you, you know, what's your real thoughts about it? You know, not so much to speculate about what happened, but, you know, just from the outside looking in, you know, how things were handled by each person.
Come on, like, that's crazy. It's just, it's not what happened in the elevator, it's what proceeded to happen right after.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you slandered Jay-Z and you said he was this and that, but if he hit her back, you know you guys would have killed him either way, so what do you want him to do? Like, I don't get it.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they had a family problem, whatever. She wanted to swing. He didn't want to hit her back. That's fine. That's how it should be. He tried to restrain her, but now the memes have started. The meme world. We live in that world now, so.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But you know what? I understand. But see, this is the thing, and maybe it's because that's just my perception, but I'm not looking at it as people saying, oh, he's corny or he's whack because of what he did. In all reality, everybody, whether it's said or not said, respects the fact that he conducted himself the way he did, and he did not hit her back. You understand? So, I mean, everybody I know has given him props for that. That, you know, that in itself, but that's something different from the memes. Like you said, we live in a meme world. And there's certain pictures that, you know, it just matches what's said on it so perfectly that it's like, yo, and even though it's all about people's speculation about what they think happened, what they think was said, so on and so forth in the elevator, I mean, it's still funny. And it's meant to be
funny.
I mean, laughing at it. Sort of like is able to take the steam out of it. And I guarantee you there's going to be a time down the line where him and her are going to have a laugh about it.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. Most definitely.
Where he's going to be like, yeah, oh, you know how you was kicking your leg up, telling you I wanted to smack your shit out too, but I did. You know,
They're doing damage control right now, heavy damage control.
Yeah, because I heard they were seen shopping at some jewelry
store.
Yeah, you know, they just came in and didn't. You know, to me, that's not necessary. You know, as like I said, as an outsider looking in, none of that, you know, would have been necessary to me. How do you feel about the person that leaked the footage? And do you think it was appropriate for them to get fired?
You know what's crazy, Ed? I don't think he cares that he got fired because he got 200,000+ off of that video, I believe. I'm just saying, I know he got paid for that video, but he shouldn't. That's people's business because, like, I know people that do that security work and stuff like that. It's not, you're not supposed to be doing that. I don't know what you're taking pictures of for, like, but, no, he lost his job. He was right. That's privacy.
Well, you know, in all actuality, there are certain places where there is no expectation of privacy, and an elevator is one of them. You think about it, in all reality, the cameras, they're not so much to record, you know, what you're doing per se, but it's there for safety reasons. Say you get mugged. Say the elevator stops in between floors. It breaks down. Lights go out. The building's on fire. They need to know how many we got in the elevator. I mean, there are numerous positive reasons why the camera is there. And with that being said, there can be no expectation of any type of privacy. Now, while I don't condone, especially if there is some type of agreement that was signed upon employment that, you know, whatever you see, you know, you're not supposed to record or you're not supposed to tape off of the cameras. I'm not sure about that. I don't know if that was a stipulation.
No, it is because you're not supposed to talk about business. You're not supposed to talk about any business that you bring from your corporate building. You're not supposed to talk about it. So why would you bring something? That's a privacy agreement that he signed that you cannot be, you know, it's a high-profile situation, of course, you know what I'm saying? But that's a real bad look.
But at the same time, too. Not to say that you would be as stupid because, you know, everything is everything. All they had to do was say who was on schedule at that time. It wasn't hard to find out who did it. And you can tell someone did it from their phone because as they were trying to adjust the camera, you can see the other security screens from other places in the building or other elevators, the other elevator banks.
Exactly.
So, you know, the thing is, imagine yourself. You're in a security room or a security area, and everybody, there's all these stars, all these famous people around. Not that you're awestruck, but it's like, oh, shit, there goes so-and-so, and there's so-and-so. And you're minding your own business. You're doing your job. You're doing your job, and you happen to look, and you see Solange and Jay-Z in the elevator. Now, what I'm saying is the camera, the phone was already aimed So this is what I'm thinking too. Maybe it had already happened, and they were just doing the playback. Which means even if you go by who was on schedule, you still don't know who played that back and recorded it. Imagine this: me, you, and Black. We work security. Okay, Black is late today. So it's just me and you. I'm on shift first. I see what happened. I'm like, you come in to relieve me for lunch. I'm like, yo, you just missed the elevator 3 camera.
Oh, of course. I know
about
that.
15 minutes
ago.
Yo, I saw them, and yo, I saw Jay-Z get beat the fuck up by Solange. That shit was crazy, son. And then I leave and go to lunch. You go, you rewind, you record it on your phone. And then I come back from lunch. I thank you for relieving me. You going about your business, and now you the one with the $250,000, and I'm the one with the lost job. You see what I'm saying? That could have. That's an option. You got to think about that. That's an option too.
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
That's an option too. But like I said, back to the being in the elevator, there can be no real expectation of privacy in certain areas. Like, you know, I know for a fact I'm not going to get in the elevator, and I'm not going to dig in my pants and you scratch my crotch. Or pick my nose because I know for a fact there's a camera in there. And I know for a fact that there's probably somebody looking at that shit as, you know, as I'm riding it. You know, just you're not looking at me to do shit, but just making sure, you know, I'm riding the elevator safely. You know what I mean? So, but I'm not going to, there's certain things I'm just not going to do in the elevator because I know there's no privacy. I'm not going to go into the corner bodega and go in the back. And just because I'm in the back and the shelves are high and nobody from the front can see me, hey, the camera is right there in the front across from the guy at the register. So not only can he see me, but so can the people standing at the register. So I'm not going to go in there expecting to have some type of privacy. So some things you just off the rip, you know.
Tom? No, you're right, because the thing is, it was like, the whole security thing, it looked like, all right, if I would have took that video, I would have literally sent it to you in Black, like, yo, look what I seen, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's clear, like, yo, look, you don't believe me? Like, I've done it before, like, yo, look at this crazy-ass fight happening, no one's going to believe me, you know what I'm saying? I'll take it to send it to my friends. I'm not sending it to Worldstar, I don't give a fuck about Worldstar, I'm sending it to you guys, like, yo, no one's going to believe me, look. I understand that, but he went for it on that one.
If he is indeed security, you know, I'm sure, you know, not to say the security guards don't make any money, but I don't think they get paid what they're really worth. So, you know, with that being said, that $250K may be, shit, 3-4 years worth of salary for all we know. You know, so
no,
I hope they enjoy it. I hope they're able to find, at least start their own business with that money, because there's going to be a certain level of trust that no one's going to have regarding that person anymore, or they're not going to be put in a position where they're able to tell or show anything. But real quick, too, let's get into Donald Sterling. Rejo, you know,
this guy, man,
would love to say, you know, I really don't like when people say, oh, you know, leave that in the past, racism doesn't exist, people need to stand, you know, people need to stand on their own 2 feet and stop blaming the white man and stop this and stop that.
Oh, hell
and
no, he's wrong. 100% he's wrong.
When
he
the reality is, when the reality is, it is, in fact, white man that is in a position to make sure you only get but so far, and when the majority, because let's be real, I'm sure Donald Sterling is not the only team owner who feels that way. I'm sure there may be others that have said worse than
yeah,
he's
the only one that got caught.
Saying. Right, he's the one that got caught. So, you know, mm-hmm. I know there's a couple that's wiping their brow now, like, whew, takes the heat off of me, you know, but in the meantime, you got to realize that there are a lot of, you know, that old boy mentality where, you know,
mm-hmm.
we're not supposed to, black men and white women not supposed to socialize or to be seen together or whatever that is. Do you think it was a setup?
A setup? No, he knew he was being recorded. He knew he has whatever Alzheimer's, dementia, whatever the fuck they say he has. Like, he's really dumb, because I've seen on two different occasions he's gone bipolar. He said one thing, and then the next occasion he'll say the exact opposite of it. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
At first, he said, oh, it's okay, whatever the NBA wants to do, I'll do it. And now he's refusing to pay whatever the 2.5 million, that the 3.2, whatever it was.
Yeah, the maximum amount that the league could charge, uh-huh.
Now he's refusing it. This old man is confused. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's confused. He doesn't know what he's saying. But I'll tell you this right now, he's a straight up racist. I have no problem saying it. He's a racist. There's no room for that shit in the league. And you're right.
Mm-hmm.
There's other owners going, damn, that could have been me. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Damn, his dumb ass. Yeah, he has cancer. Like, there's nothing, you know what I'm saying? I'm not wishing death on him, but let's be real. He's like 80 something and he got cancer.
Right. Right.
What
right.
are you trying to prove?
You
must live.
And I had no idea that he is now refusing to pay the league that fine, which I believe is a paltry sum compared to the amount of money that he has made
billions.
The Clippers in the beginning. Now he has more than tripled his initial investment.
Yep.
You know, he bought them for like what, $12 million or $15 million, something like that in the beginning, and now they're actually worth $520 something million. That's just crazy. And so, you know, had it been me, I'd have been like, all right, you know what, you got me. There's no trying to talk your way out of it. There's no way in trying to spin it. Just own up to it. Yeah, you know what, I did say that shit. That is me. What's the fine you want? Fine, here you go. You want me to, you banned me from the league? Well, you know what? I have but so much time left anyway. It's better spent out in the world than at some goddamn basketball game. So here, take the 2.5. Y'all kiss my ass. You know, fuck you niggas and I'm out. You know what I'm saying?
That's what he should have did. Like, yo, I'm sorry, my fault. But nah, he continues to dig himself deeper and deeper into that hole. Like, I don't get what his, like, and what's going on in his mind is, like, some crazy shit. I'm really starting to believe he has dementia, Alzheimer's, some shit.
Right, to go along with everything else that is
yo,
going
he's just
on with
dumb.
Him. Right.
Oh,
and this
isn't the first time.
Right, because he's being sued by, who is he already being sued by?
Oh, these have all been settled. In Elgin Baylor, NBA Hall of Famer,
right. Mm-hmm.
suing for racial discrimination. He actually settled out for one of the biggest housing discrimination payouts ever. He was actually sued by Department of Justice for housing discrimination. He paid out the biggest amount ever.
Do you have a money amount? You know how much?
I believe.
Yes, do you know how much he had to pay?
It was close to $17 million.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was
wow,
in March.
Because I heard he was a slumlord too, right?
Mm-hmm. Him and his wife.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And so I and see, there's this misconception that he was set up by V. Stigliano. Now, you know, I haven't really gone through looking up this person and, you know,
mm-hmm.
checking her out, you know, on Instagram or Facebook or any of that or stuff. But I have to be completely honest. I'm questioning the original gender of this person. That's just like, you know, she just looks, you know, maybe it's me. Sometimes makeup really can change a person's features. I mean, I've seen people look one way and then with a little makeup, it's like, oh, wow, that's you? You know what I mean?
I honestly believe that person was born a man. That person was born
yeah.
a man.
Look yeah, that's
face,
kind
man.
Of towards. Yeah, that's very strong features. Very strong, but remember, there are some people who do. They just look androgynous.
That's
they
right. You're right.
Do,
you're right.
So you can't really tell. You know, you really don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really don't know. I know a lot of women who are attractive, but you can see that. You know, they resemble their pops. So you can see the masculine, you know, you can see a little bit of the masculine partner's hate. But, you know, I don't believe she set him up. And we know that the tapes got out simply because his wife was suing her, V. Stigliano,
uh-huh.
because she said what everybody else was saying. Hey, you know, this chick is trying to rob my husband of money. Now, yeah, I don't like him. I don't care for him. But in all reality, that money she's getting from him, that's mine too.
That's real shit.
And there's no way that I gave the okay for this to go down like this. I didn't say it was all right for him to buy her house. I didn't say it was okay for him to buy her a Range Rover. I didn't say it was all right for him to finance vacations for her. I didn't say it was all right for him to put her on the payroll as his assistant. You know, so that's what set it off. She's like, this bitch is getting this motherfucking money, and that's my guap. You know, he thinks he's slick. He's trying to spin it up so I can't get none. Nah.
I don't understand.
So,
I don't understand why she waited.
As a result
now,
of that, those tapes came out.
I don't
you know
why
those
she waited
tapes
till
came
now.
Out. Say it again.
Why'd she wait? Why did she wait till now?
Well, it's not that she waited till now. This is just how the lawsuit, the divorce settlement, this is a divorce settlement. And you know, those things can take a really long time to settle, especially when you have the amount of asset, the sheer amount of money
mm-hmm.
alone. Because now everything has to be calculated from what was he worth before he married her? What was she worth
mm-hmm.
before she married him? What were they worth jointly together? What wealth was accumulated since they've been together? How much of that wealth that was accumulated is she responsible for? How much she mm-hmm. entitled to? All of that stuff got to be worked out. All that stuff's got to be worked out. So I'm sure she's trying to get as much as she can. And she's probably, you know, who's to say that it was actually her who brought the tapes up? It might have been him having
right.
forgotten what he said. And said, well, no, I got it on tape what I told you because I recorded the conversation. Or I had these things down, I had her record everything I said after I spoke to her. I had her record it so I wouldn't forget. And who's to say that it was during the, you know, hearing those recordings that this came up? There are so many variables on how it came about. But it's no different than it's no different than the person who leaked the elevator footage. If you think about it, it's no different because of a divorce settlement, anything in court. It's public record.
Oh, no, Ed, it started off of the wife. After the tapes were released, while in the middle of them being released, they were going through a lawsuit where the wife is actually suing V. Stigliano for $1.8 in embezzlement. And now, that's how it all started, and that's how they figured
mm-hmm.
everything out. And you see Donald Sterling defending her in the Anderson Cooper, you know, interview. But
mm-hmm.
the thing about the wife is she wants to purchase the team, but that's why she's doing this whole divorce thing, like to show, hey, look, I'm not with him. But what makes you think she's not going to divorce him and say, oh, no, forget it, just let him die and just take the rest of the money, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, right. Because
she's just
I
as
actually,
bad, she's just as bad.
And I don't think that he will possibly outlive, he's going to live long enough to see any of this come to fruition. I don't think he's going to live long enough for them to actually get divorced. I don't think he's going to live long enough for them to actually get the team from him, even though I'm under the impression that there's a deadline that he has until a certain time to relinquish ownership of the team. Is that true?
No, the thing is, he has a deadline to pay it. Right now, the general board is meeting to take a unanimous vote to actually have to force him to sell the team.
Mm-hmm.
All
right.
The owners
right.
will take
so they have vote. They have until a certain time, a certain date to do that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This
but
is
but he still
be,
has to pay. He still has to pay that.
Right. This is going to prove to be very interesting. I'm going to it's going to be interesting to see how the other owners, even though everybody is you know, seemingly appalled and, you know, seemingly appalled at what has gone down as other owners and how it reflects back on the league, because, you know, that has, like I said, people already saying just what I said, yo, it's got to be other owners that feel that way. So now you got players looking at their owners like, you've had suspect behavior. I may not have heard you say anything directly, but, you know, there have been times when, you know, I've had to, like, look at you twice for what you said. So, you know, so it's like now you have somewhat of this division. So it's going to so
yeah.
at the same time, you got the same owner that's probably saying, shit, I wish somebody would try to make me sell my team because of something I said in private or that was recorded. You know, they might start thinking like that, like, oh, if the league can just go ahead and decide to take his team, what's to stop them from taking mine for whatever
You're
reason?
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how this is going to play out.
There's one more little note that I wrote down here. It's in 2011, about a couple years ago, he testified that he did not know Hall of Famer Elgin Baylor had been a basketball player at the time he was hired. Like an idiot.
Are
and
you
then
serious?
He said he didn't know who Elgin Baylor was when he hired him to be like a part of the organization. Mind you, he had already he retired and was a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
That same year, he celebrated Black History Month in the wrong month. This is exact. This is everything is exact.
Right.
Another quote from Sterling exactly in 1983. He was trying to get a coach to coach the team. His name was Ron Massimino. He was a college coach. He went up to him in the airport. Massimino said he was with a bimbo, drunk, loaded, with a bottle of champagne in the hand, and exact words from Donald Sterling to him as a potential coach is, what makes you think you can coach these, you know the rest?
Are you serious? So
oh,
see,
I'm good. Oh, I'm good. Oh, Sterling, I'm going to fuck you up, bitch. I'm going to fuck you up. I'm going to tell
everybody.
Wow,
now you see how, so this wasn't just something he just said because he was feeling a certain kind of way at the moment. This has been ingrained in him for the longest.
It was funny. They used to laugh at him. They used to laugh at his ignorance. Now, since it's come to the light, oh, no, now we're going to put you there. Now you can stay right there in that light that you want so bad.
Wow, that is just like, you know.
He said all of that.
It's
all
not
of that
surprising. It's not surprising to hear, but nevertheless, it's still disappointing to, you know, to actually be like, to actually have to deal with that in 2014. We're going to take a quick break and pay some bills, and when we come back, I want to ask you what you think about what LeBron said about what he's going to do or not do if the coaches don't decide to take this dude's team from him. I want to see what you think about that. It's pregame radio. It's your girl, Ev. RJ still on the line. And we're just going in on Sunday real quick, having a tell-it-like-it-is sort of moment on Sundays. And you know what? Who knows? We might expand this. This is a thought. We're just going to keep it there for a minute. You know, we want to see.
You know.
what happened? You know, so, but now this is Beastie Boys, no sleep till Brooklyn. Yo, yo.
Let me shout out Donald Sterling's his daughter and cousins and nephews and nieces.
Oh,
no, because,
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, no, because I will be dating one of his daughters real soon, or his cousins and or nieces. You know what I'm saying? They will be in Brooklyn with us, screaming pregame. I bet you he'll love that one.
That's what's up. That's what's up. I like that. I like that. You're gonna look. You're gonna have to show me who he's talking about. That's
I'm be Instagramming. I'm be Instagramming. I know he loves Instagram, right? Bitch ass.
Yeah. Well, look. I'm gonna have to check it out through Black's Instagram because you know Ev is not really interested in. You know Ev. I guess you could say is somewhat of a Neanderthal when it comes to, you know, all of these certain social medias. Now, the only reason I have a Facebook is because I was drafted into it about 7 years ago. That's the only reason why. And then when I first got it, I didn't use it for like 2 or 3 years. It didn't pick up, you know. So it's in the last couple of years. Once I saw what apps were and how much fun they were to play, that's always been my sole interest in Facebook, the apps. You know, so that's what it is. Look, I'm going to have to check out. Listen, you ever want to contact Ev, you got to hit up Brooklyn Black's Instagram or you got to hit up his Twitter because, yes, I do have a Twitter, but I don't remember the password and I haven't been active in it in over a year. I'm sure that half the people that I have, you know, had following me have since unfollowed me, and that's okay. I don't blame you. You got to get rid of the dead space, right? So that's what it is. But, here it is, it's Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn, and we'll be right back. Pre-game radio, 347-857-4302. Bang.
No Sleep Till!
No! I've been all. Tell me who gon' take me off. Take me off, take me off, take me off. Rolling high, living wood, keep the trill, that's what's good. Kiss my mama, show that love. Pop them bottles in that club. I heard your boo was talking lips. I told my crew to smack that trick. Smack that trick, smack that trick. Guess what they did? Smack that trick. Gold everything, gold ass chain, gold ass rings, gold ass fangs. You can see me stunt when you turn and you scream. You can see me stunt when you turn and you scream. I'm bigger than life, my name in the life. I'm the number one chick, I don't need no hype. The capital B means I'm about that life. The capital B means I'm about that life. I've been on, I've been on, I've been on. Tell me who gon' take me off. Take me off, take me off, take me off. Cause I've been on. I remember my baby hair with my dookie braids. Friendship, boot in the parking lot. Shout out to Willie D. I was in that Willie D video when I was about 14, looking crazy. Shout out to Pimp C. You know, we used to sneak and listen to that UGK. Didn't your girl, but your sister was alright. In your homeboy caddy last night. Man. Hold up.
It's your girl, Ab. Sunday, May 18th. The time is now 2:44 p.m. and you're listening to a special edition of Pregame Radio. And I'm here chopping it up with RJ Still. And I'll tell you one thing, that was Beyonce. I played that for our esteemed founder, Brooklyn Black. He secretly likes that song, and I just blew his shit up, but oh well, he can't do nothing to me right now, so but that's his joint, truth be told, and I find it kind of ironic that I know there's one bitch that won't be bowing down to Beyonce, and that is her little sister Solange. And right now, ooh, I can't even find the applause track because I would definitely applaud that. But you're back. We're back. And before we went to break and listened to a couple of songs, I asked you, I said I wanted to know what you think about LeBron's brief statement about how he would not play and that he would boycott any player that didn't unanimously decide to boot Donald Sterling as owner of the L.A. Clippers. So what do you think? You think he's being, you know, that's a true-to-heart statement? Is he just trying to get his 15 minutes off of this? You know, what do you think? His goal, what is he trying to accomplish by doing that?
I feel like he has to show them that he shows support. You know what I'm saying? He said it in the beginning. He said, we can't have people like Donald Sterling here. So right now what they're waiting on is the vote so they can take him out, but he's trying to fight it. What LeBron's saying is because he's like, all right, he's the top player in the NBA. I'm not going to lie. He's like the face of the NBA. If he doesn't do this, then, you know what I'm saying, who the fuck are you playing for? You're not playing for your brothers and stuff like that? You don't support your fellow brothers as a player, or, you know, you're going to let him rock? And I think that's why he said it. Because if the face of the NBA is saying, hey, listen, I'm going to do it, there's no reason nobody else should.
What? Well, you know, I find it interesting that you would say, you would refer to him as the actual face of the NBA. So your stance is that he's doing it because that's his role. That as a leadership, you know, as a leadership model, the archetype, you know, basketball, that he's just living up to what his title is.
He has to do it. Like, I know he believes him because he was the first person to say we don't need him in the league, but, like, he's basically saying, look, guys, I'm going to do it. And I'm that dude. I'm one of the highest played. So there's nothing that's going to stop you guys from doing it. You know what I'm saying? He has the most to lose if really I'm looking at it like that.
Because, you know, while you're looking at it as he has so much to lose, I'm also looking at it as he has a lot to gain. And
he does.
Number
he does.
One, he's quite. It's quite boisterous of him. not even say boisterous, but that's a real big ego he got. Because what he's basically saying is, I alone can control this outcome.
No, not at all.
Yes, he is. Listen to me. He's saying that he personally will boycott any player or any owner who does not unanimously decide to get rid of Donald Sterling. Now they're about to play for the championship. Can you imagine what would happen if he decides he's not going to play? Now imagine if he don't play, then these other people ain't going to play, and then those other people ain't going to play. And so he's single-handedly shutting shit down. Now, while he is in a position to say, you know what, I don't have to play these next couple of games. I don't give a damn about that ring. I already have several. I can start my vacation early. I don't give a shit. Think about all the families of all the people that are employed by these arenas, that are employed by the stadium, that come in and print the championship shirt, the shirts and the hats and the ring, and they, you know, they come in and they prepare the arena for winning. You know, they do the confetti, they come do the cleanup. They think about all the little people. And because you think about it, if these guys don't play, then they don't eat either. You understand?
Everything you're saying is right. I mean, I hear you.
Shutting shit down. He's single-handedly shutting shit down. And
that's leading the
big balls right there.
He's leading the charge. That's what, in the headlines, that's what it says. LeBron James is going to be leading that charge, that boycott.
Well, I sincerely hope that the players' union, because I know they're good for, you know, trying to take care of their players, especially those after they retire and, you know, have somewhat of a limited income or whatever. But I hope the players' union is also prepared to try and help offset the financial obligations to people that, like I said, they're not making millions of dollars a year. They don't have any endorsement. Because LeBron is going to get paid off of making that statement alone.
Oh, of course.
Now, any company that wants to be synonymous with integrity is going to want to use him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's making sense. And it's a win-win situation for him. It's a win-win situation for him. And I think that, you know, yes, we definitely have to make a stand on this, and we definitely have to follow through and be for real about it, not just talk about it, but be for real and show and prove action. But if they can make this type of stance, if he can make such a boast to get a racist owner out the league, then he could do that for education in the poor cities. He could do that for the straight from school to jail shit that they got going on, putting our kids in jail for bullshit. He can do that about the bullshit-ass education that we get. He could do that about those of us that still, because of lack of resources in our community, is still killing each other over dumb shit. He could do that for those things as well. You understand what I'm saying?
Nah, he could. You know, these celebrities have so much power, but it's up to them where they use it, right? You're right about that. It's completely up to them how they're using it and where they're using it.
And I'm saying it's not to say that this is not a good cause, because this is excellent considering the fact that it is young black men that are responsible for these owners' wealth.
Mm-hmm.
They're responsible for it. Granted, they may have started out with money to have purchased the team, but you got people that are bringing in endorsements. They're bringing people to your door. They're earning you money. All you're doing is collecting. They're doing the hard work. They're the ones that got bum knees at 35 and by 45 can't walk right. They're the ones that, you know, incur these injuries, and they're those that don't even get the chance to really see their career play out like it won. You know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go into that shit. And you just sitting back like a fat rat and you collecting. So I think doing that shows that the league and the players, I guess, have some, are saying, yo, somebody has to have some accountability about this. You know, I'm glad he stepped up and I'm glad he, you know, made the little speech that he made, but key word is, you know, made. I still think that while he is maybe believing he's doing it for a noble cause, at the same time, I can't help but think that somewhere in the back of his mind, you know, he realized how this would also, you know, benefit him in the end.
Oh, of course. I mean, yeah, but, like, Ed, like, it's like they actually compared it to, what is it, the Civil Rights Movement with Muhammad Ali and everybody got all the athletes together. You remember?
Yeah, definitely.
And they boycotted. That's what they're trying to recreate. What was it, during, while he was still there, they did, like, a quiet protest. Remember they turned the jerseys inside out?
Right.
And they played, like, and all the players did it. You know what I'm saying? They're trying to show that they're together as a unit going through this. But even Doc Rivers, like, I'm glad that Doc Rivers is the coach for the Clippers. He's the perfect guy to face all of this. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, he knows how to handle everything. He knows how to talk right. He knows what to say. But the thing is, even he doesn't want to come back and play for this guy. Nobody wants to come back
right.
and play. If he's going to fight it in court, Ed, there's no way this is going to end before the next NBA starts. That's what I'm saying. There's no way.
Into the season. Mm-hmm.
No, there's not. Come on. I know the coach shit. I know all that shit. Nah. He's going to be here for a couple months. He wants to fight this and that. His health is deteriorating. That's why his face looks like that, because of the meds that he's taking, like Donald Sterling. But, like, it's a lose, in my opinion. For him, it's a win-win. NBA fans, it's a lose-lose if they don't play.
Right.
He's going to be under credit, like, all right, fuck it. We stood up. You know what I'm saying? I stood up with all my brothers. But the thing is, Chris Paul, the dude that's on the Clippers, he's the president
right.
of the NBA Players Association. So how hard is it for him?
Right. That's true, too.
Like, it's going to keep going until something happens to Sterling. They don't want his family to have it. That's the number one thing. No Sterling. That's it. Forget about them.
Wait a minute. All right, so I guess that's a cue for us to play a little bit of music before we get ready to get out of here, because we actually, our hour is almost up. I want to say thank you to you for definitely coming through and having this Sunday, you know, this Sunday brunch discussion. I'm hoping that we can definitely sit down and have a round table discussion about this, and maybe, you know, next time bring on, you know, have some guests come in and, you know, discuss, like I said, make it a real round table, a real tell it like it is, where we, you know, we don't just gloss over current events. We sit down and get in depth and deep. And, you know, we come up with, you know, solutions, or maybe sometimes trying to find the solutions, you only come up with more questions, you know, and that's all right. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. So I want to say once again, I want to say peace and thank you. I want to say shout out to everyone who tuned in today to Pregame Radio and just listened to us for a little hour. Our, you know, official pregame Tell It Like It Is radio segment. Listen, I'm already going in like it's official.
Tell it like it is.
Considering the fact you do have two admins on the line doing the show today, we can more or less say that it is official. But we're going to give respect and props to the other admins, and we're going to throw it out there and, you know, see what their ideas are and what they have to say, their input, and we're going to push ahead. So once again, thank you, Audrey, still for coming through with this special pregame Sunday edition, telling it like it is. And, you know, I want to thank Donald Sterling. I want to thank Beyonce and Solange. I want to thank
Hold on. I'm not thanking Donald Sterling. Yo, Donald Sterling, man. Yo, your nieces and your daughters, yo, keep them, yo. Remember.
No,
I'm
you know
here,
what?
Bro.
No. Look, we got to thank him. Look, we got to thank him. We got to thank him for for showing us what is an ugly truth, but letting us know that, yeah, there is a certain mentality that still exists and is prevalent in these so-called people who are owners of these teams. It's given, I'm sure it's given every minority player in every sport whose team is owned by a white person has given them food for thought. I know it's made every last one of them say, you know what?
Damn.
You know, it's something to think about. It's something to think about. And it also is an eye-opener for those that choose to believe that, you know, we have progressed in certain ways, and we've progressed more technologically-wise than we have as a people, spiritually-wise, and, you know, and respecting in relation to one another. That hasn't seemed to change. Not much. It's just better hidden now. So I'm definitely glad that now it's out in the open and something could be done about it. Peace to all the, you know, the athletes that have stood up and are standing up to this. And I hope that their point is made. I hope their point is made and that the league hears and, you know, they get rid of this guy. So once again, thank you, RJ. Thanks to all the listeners.
Thank you, Ed. Thank you, pregame.
And that's what it is. And you know what? We'll catch you next Friday with a brand new show. I don't know who's going to be hosting. You never know. We might have a guest host. What do you think about that? Guest host?
I think guest host.
Maybe. And we'll also have, like I said, more information. We'll have more news. And we may have another special edition next Sunday. And that's what it is. And
tell it like it is.
Go, you want to shout anybody else out?
Oh, actually, I just would like to say rest in peace to Shannon Coleman, a young woman that was murdered in Spring Valley. I'll just like rest in peace to her. It was wrong. I just want, you know, my respects to her family and everything like that. And I just want to give a shout out to OTM, Brooklyn Black, everybody else. Ed, thank you for having me. And like Ed said, tell her like it is.
That's what it is. And thank you for being here. And we are out. Peace.